From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Katie Anastas with a quick look at local and statewide news. Members of Alaska's legislature will soon have more housing options in Juneau. Legislators and staff say a new apartment building just for them could help address common challenges they face when finding housing. The Assembly Building is a three-story office building just steps away from the Capitol. Last month, a legislative committee approved spending $6.6 million to convert it into 33 apartments as early as next year. It could help address some of the challenges legislators and their staff often face when looking for housing. For one, the downtown location could reduce the need to bring a car. That'd be a perk for legislators like Anchorage Senator Bill Wilikowski. He stopped bringing a car with him to Juneau a few years ago after an icy, windy stop in Whittier to drop off his car at the ferry.
It was like a comedy scene. I remember I fell down and I couldn't get back up. And I was crawling, trying to get back to my car because it was like sheet ice and like 80 mile an hour winds. And then my glasses flew off into the ocean. It was crazy.
It would also bring the amount of session housing closer to pre-pandemic levels. The Legislative Affairs Agency keeps a list of rooms, apartments, and houses for rent submitted by landlords. Executive Director Jessica Geary says the list got significantly smaller during COVID. And then there's the issue of Airbnb.
We've had some people try to list using sort of their short-term Airbnb rental rates, so a few hundred dollars a night for some. And we've turned down those listings because we want it to still be affordable. We want Juneau to be a, you know, friendly, affordable place for the legislature to come.
Juneau Representative Sarah Hannon chairs the committee that approved the spending. She says they haven't determined how much rent will cost.
The goal is not to undercut the market, and the goal isn't really to become a profitable landlord, right? We're not going into the landlord business to make money, but I think there will be an expectation that it pays for itself and doesn't undercut any market that's out there.
Another major benefit will be availability during special sessions. Many leases meant for legislators and staff end in late April or early May, because that's when tourism season starts in Juneau. If the session goes longer than that, Geary says, it can put tenants in a tough spot.
Ships are coming earlier and earlier, so it's definitely an issue. Like, we're usually good on housing until, like, May 1st, and then it starts getting a little bit difficult.
Mike Mason has witnessed that firsthand. He's been a legislative staffer since 2015.
I mean, I can tell you horror stories of, like, I had housing for us when we had five special sessions in a year. I did not have to lose my housing. Almost everybody else did. And, like, I'm stashing people's clothes in my house and all this kind of thing because people are just couch surfing.
Mason is working for Anchorage Senator Lukey Tobin this year. Tobin says the housing crunch in April and May can have an impact on legislators' ability to get work done.
One of the things I've noticed is that 90-day period of time actually results in some work having to be shifted because many staffers are moving out of the place that they had secured into new accommodations. And so you really see an impact into the speed and efficiency of some of the bills moving forward because of that unfortunate blip.
The Legislative Affairs Agency still has rentals listed for the upcoming session, which starts on Tuesday. Legislators and staff still in need of housing, as well as Juneau homeowners with rentals available, can contact the agency's office. And trollers turned out at the Sitka Assembly meeting this week to voice concerns about a court case that could shut down commercial salmon trolling in southeast Alaska. The lawsuit is about Washington killer whales and Alaskan king salmon. Fishermen and representatives from the Alaska Trollers Association asked the local assembly to consider contributing $25,000 to their legal defense fund. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
The Seattle-based environmental group Wild Fish Conservancy wants to stop the southeast troll fisheries, which they say harm an endangered population of orcas. The group has argued the government failed to adequately address the impact of Alaska's king salmon harvests on southern resident killer whales, whose population in the Puget Sound area of Washington has dropped to critically low levels. And in December, a federal judge in Washington issued a report that puts the fisheries at risk of closure. The Alaska Trollers Association is a defendant in the 2020 suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service. Sitka fisherman Matt Donahoe is the president of the Trollers Group. He says they object to the report and expect their legal expenses to increase.
Anyone claiming that southern resident killer whales are starving because Alaska trollers were taking food from the mouth of their babies would be laughed out of court. That's what we thought. Yet a judge is recommending that the historic Southeast Alaska troll fishery, which for 100 years has never closed, will shut down this winter. If that happens, the industry will die, and so will a large part of Southeast Alaska's economy.
Around a dozen fishermen asked the assembly to help with the organization's legal defense fund. And it's not just trollers. Linda Benkin leads the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. Both her group and the trollers drafted a report outlining research into the decline of southern resident orcas. She said the lawsuit ignores a large body of science, which indicates that pollution, not fisheries, are the biggest threat.
They're struggling with habitat issues. They're struggling with what's been done in the world around them. They're in Puget Sound. It's not even fisheries, let alone the fisheries 1,000 miles away up here. And that our fishermen have worked for years to keep the resources up here healthy, to keep our rivers clean, and to take care of the whole ecosystem, and to now have this overreach by an area that's not done their job to take care of that habitat, I think really illustrates who else will be at risk if this lawsuit perseveres.
When it came time for the assembly to consider the proposal, there was support, and some said they'd be interested in giving more than $25,000. Assemblymember Chris Yested, who's a fisherman himself, said he saw it as an investment.
I think the Sitka troll fleet produces more than $25,000 in tax revenue every year to the city, so I don't think it's too much for them to ask for some of it back to fight their battles.
Assemblymember Crystal Duncan suggested calling for other Southeast communities to throw in money.
I'm just wondering if this is a Southeast-wide problem. Rather than us take and elevate that number beyond 25,000, I guess the question is, have we reached out to say, here's what has happened since, here's how much we're requesting of Sitka, can you match that?
But Duncan also wondered whether the assembly would be setting a precedent that would lead other industry groups to request money to help with legal fees. Sponsor Tor Christensen didn't take issue with that.
I am hard-pressed to think of an event that has threatened to wipe out a huge portion of our economy in one fell swoop, which is, but in my mind, that is a definition of emergency. So if somebody came forward with a similar issue, yes, we would discuss it. To me, this is like the landslide or some of, you know, during COVID and things, because this is a real threat to our town.
And then there was a question of where the money should come from. City Administrator John Leach and Municipal Attorney Brian Hansen said the Fisheries Enhancement Fund could likely be used, but Mayor Steven Eisenbeist preferred the money come from the city's general fund. As for whether the assembly could offer more than $25,000, Eisenbeist noted that while no one at the meeting spoke against the measure, the assembly had received some pushback in their inbox.
I didn't expect that, but it's for better or for worse what we saw. So I think we should start here, and then as things develop, keep an eye and a pulse on that. From the people in this room and the strength of the people in this room, I have no doubt that we will be continued to be informed on that.
The Sitka Assembly didn't take a vote at the meeting. Assembly members Christensen and Kevin Mosier, who co-sponsored the discussion item, said they'd bring an ordinance to the table for the Assembly to vote on at the next regular meeting, January 24th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And now for a look at local weather. It's currently 27 degrees at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, rain and snow showers, mainly after midnight, low around 30 degrees. East wind 10 to 20 miles per hour with gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. And there's a 100% chance of precipitation tonight with possible new snow accumulation of around an inch. Tomorrow, rain and snow showers are likely before 9 a.m., then scattered rain showers. Cloudy with a high near 36 degrees. Northeast wind around 10 miles per hour and a 60% chance of precipitation. And looking ahead to the weekend, there's a chance of rain and snow Saturday morning before noon, and then rain likely through the rest of the weekend.